Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Tens of thousands of protesters have taken to the streets in Germany, Britain, and other European countries to demand the end of the coronavirus restrictions. But governments in many countries are seeking to tighten, not ease, lockdowns as the numbers of deaths and cases rise. The largest demonstration was in Kassel in Germany, where Chancellor Angela Merkel is considering reimposing a lockdown. The protest highlights a growing weariness with the restrictions. For more on the mood in Germany, I spoke to our reporter in Berlin, Damian McGuinness.
The people we have in Kassel who've been demonstrating are quite representative of quite an extreme part of the national debate right now in Germany. And the people there are a real mix. Some of them don't really think this is a real pandemic. Definitely some members of the far right were also there. You can tell that by the signs they were holding up. Some people who just don't like this government in general, the same sorts of people we might have seen on anti-migrant protests beforehand. Or we've had other groups of people in these protests. This is the largest one we've had really this year. But we see these protests every week, really, in various different cities. And it's such a varied mix of people who don't agree with this lockdown or the government's policy in general. It's hard to characterise them. But I think when we're looking at Germany as a whole, what we're seeing really is a growing dissatisfaction of how the government's handling it. And that's really more to do with the vaccination campaign, because the numbers are going up right now and the numbers of vaccines are not going up. That's the real problem.
And indeed, Germany was praised 6 months ago for containing the virus better than other big countries, notably Britain. And the death toll is not as high, but the vaccination campaign is a mess.
Yeah, it's been really difficult. And what's been interesting, Joe, is that last year Germany was really seen as a model of how to deal with the pandemic. Hospitals were well prepared. They managed well with the rising cases. Angela Merkel's government provided strong leadership, and most people agreed with how Germany had dealt with things. This year, though, since the rollout of the vaccine, there has been a lot of dissatisfaction. Numbers have really shot up. The death toll has risen quite remarkably over the past 6 months. And the problem right now is that infection numbers are going up while the government is loosening restrictions. And that's why it would be wrong to say that people are dissatisfied with the lockdown in general, because a lot of people are saying, actually, we need more restrictive measures because the numbers are going up. And I think this general feeling of dissatisfaction on both extremes of the debate are what we're seeing in Kassel, but also it's coming through in the political debate and really falling polling numbers also for Angela Merkel's Conservative Party and for the other Social Democrats who are also in government right now.
Damian McGuinness in Germany. There were also protests in Spain and the Netherlands, as well as discontent in France and Poland. Thousands marched through central London as well in a demonstration police said was larger than expected. Our correspondent John Donison sent this report from the midst of Saturday's protests in Trafalgar Square.
To the beat of a drum and with some chanting freedom, thousands of tightly packed anti-lockdown protesters marched up Whitehall and down the Mall. One man carried a placard bearing the words, "No more government lies." Very few demonstrators were wearing masks and there was no attempt at social distancing. So far, the police, who are out in numbers, have been taking a hands-off approach. Deputy Assistant Commissioner Lawrence Taylor said mass arrests were not practical.
They are committing an offence by gathering in these numbers. Equally, if we've got several thousand people walking through London, to arrest every single one would require several thousand police officers. And at the moment, that would be very challenging. We are making arrests, we are enforcing it, and we are doing that in a proportionate way.
Among the crowd, there are some conspiracy theorists and COVID deniers, with some accusing the mainstream media of pushing fake news. But that's by no means everyone here. One woman who didn't want to be named told me she knew COVID-19 was bad, saying, "I had it myself last March, but this lockdown is too much."
John Donison in central London.
Context of white supremacy. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Sunday, March 21, 2021. So I have been told. This is our Global Sunday Talk on White Supremacy Racism. Once per month, we make an effort to speak to folks who are around the globe, get their thoughts, views on what is happening in the system of white supremacy. I think it's very important. We have been talking about the Rona now for a year, and the system of white supremacy racism, much like their current health pandemic, is worldwide. I think a lot of times victims of racism, we get confused and or run into trouble when we are reduced to thinking of white supremacy racism as just something that is isolated to, you know, what are some of the popular ones? Georgia, Alabama, like someplace in the South, maybe South Africa from time to time, that type of thing, as opposed to, hey, this is the dominant problem in the known universe. Very different way about thinking in terms of racism, white supremacy, and how we go about trying to address this problem. Anywho, lots happening in the world. We had the situation with the so-called royal family, and then certainly the Rona situation. They had riots. You heard the audio segment at the beginning, riots in Germany, and white people out in mass numbers cutting a fool. I've been pointing that out because for a while it was really only white people in the U.S. Who were going out and doing that sort of thing, violently protesting, and we're not gonna, you know, you don't have the right, tell us to stay at home and all the rest of it. But wow, a year into it, seeing white people out in mass numbers in different parts of the world protesting and whatnot, and the vaccine passports that they've been talking about in Europe. Very interesting times on the planet. Always a hoot to check in with our folks in different parts of the world. We get questions from our callers in the States. Also, with that, let us see. We will get to folks who dialed in with us. Let's see. I'm still ringing in to get Andrew with us in the UK. Make sure we have him here. Let's see. Still working to get Andrew. Give us one moment there. Let's see. Checking in with folks who are in different parts of the world. Let's see. We have one of our two. I think we have at least two of our folks. Let's get our timestamp and locations for folks where they are in the world.
Sweden.
Sweden. Awesome. Awesome. Very good to hear from you, sir. Let's see, Silent Warrior, in Norway. Are you with us as well, sir?
Yes, sir. 8:15 in Norway.
Awesome. Gus T. Renegade. It took me some years. It took me about a decade, but I got it. I think this is the first time that we in the U.S. switched the clocks forward before folks in Europe and other parts of the world. So typically it is a 9-hour time difference between Washington State, Pacific Coast, and Norway. For a brief period, it is an 8-hour time difference. And for folks in London, brief period, it is a 7-hour time difference. That has caused confusion in the past and made me mess up some programs, start times, and all the rest of it. Made me feel very niggardly, but took me roughly a decade. I got it. Same thing happens in October because we don't switch the clocks at the same time. It throws off the window just for a brief period, but even pick that up this time around. All right, let's see. Do we have our caller in Japan? Are you with us as well, sir?
Yes, sir. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear. And what's your handle again? My apologies. I'll remember next time.
Che,
like Che Guevara. Awesome. And our time stamp for Japan?
It's about 4:15 in the morning.
Whew. Happy Monday, sir. Much obliged for hanging in. Let's see. I'm still ringing in Adam, which is a bummer because I was trying to go directly to our folks in the UK. My plan for all of this was I was going to try to go immediately to the folks in London, right? Privilege them because they're close to the Queen, so we could get all of the, I won't say nonsense, we get all the chatter about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, the so-called royal family. We could do all that first and hear directly from people in that part of the world, and then move forward to other things that are happening. But we are having difficulty getting Andrew with us. Sometimes there is difficulty, might be when we have to check in and bring him back. So we might have to reconfigure and come back and nab Andrew a little bit later in the commentary, and then we can pick up. Maybe we'll have to revisit once we have our folks in London so they can speculate on that proper. In the meantime, we can get to something other than Area 8, sex with white people. Although I'm curious to hear you all's thoughts on that as well, but be great to hear folks in London. With the COVID-19 situation, we started with a clip. They're rioting in Germany. They're talking about COVID-19 passports in different parts of Europe so that people can get out and travel. There's been some concern about that. You have to have documentation to show that you have been vaccinated and or had a recent negative test. As I said, they had also protests in London. They said thousands of people protesting in London as well about the lockdowns and increased restrictions, that sort of thing. Wacky times worldwide, in addition to problems with the vaccine in some of those areas as well. I guess let's start with our caller in Sweden, and then we'll do Sweden, Norway, since they're both European areas, and then we can check in with Che in Japan. Our caller in Sweden, which is an interesting spot, if folks remember that, they didn't do a whole lot of the shutdowns and what have you. They're one of the folks that, hey, people can use their common sense. Don't be stupid. So they didn't do all the lockdowns and all of that. I think the last time that we checked in, he said that they had like light requests. Could you please wear a mask during rush hour? Not under penalty of beating or flogging or hefty fine, just during rush hour, if you're on mass transit, could you please wear a mask? That type of thing. That was about the boundary level, nothing too harsh in Sweden. And it didn't seem like they were overrun. Again, a population of approximately 10 million, and they do have universal health care and lots very heavy population of people classified as white. Our caller in Sweden, Connor, what is the scenario right now with the, I guess, with the vaccine and the restrictions?
There's the vaccine has been pulled from all of the hospitals and stuff. And there's also a new law called the pandemic law. There can only be a certain amount of people in one place. At shopping malls, gyms, etc., and at parties, they recommend only 8 people. And if you don't follow this law, you get a fine for $200.
Wow, that is. Are these recent changes? These rules about gathering and that sort of thing?
This was official right after the last time I visited. Last time I was on there, it was official right after.
Wow. Wow. Okay, and you said that they pulled the vaccine, is that correct, from hospitals?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Which is it, the AstraZeneca vaccine, or do you know which one that they pulled?
Yeah, it's that one.
Okay. Now I'm not a medical professional. Concede that for our listeners. So that is major difference geographically. The AstraZeneca vaccine has not been approved in the U.S., so this one is not available here. This vaccine, especially, I think, over the last month or so. Oh, you didn't know that? Our call in Sweden?
No, I didn't know. Nothing.
Okay. Always
just all around the world was accepted.
No. That, and some people have talked about that, like, that's kind of odd. Like, it depends on where you are geographically, which vaccine you have access to. Like, that's kind of a, but yeah, that's, that one is not available in the U.S., period. Has not been approved for usage. And people have been talking about problems with that vaccine, potential blood clots and concerns in different areas. That was a big story globally, obviously not in the U.S., but it was talked about. It was reported in the news here, but just, you know, something happening elsewhere and kind of fed into the narrative still of, there's something wrong with these vaccines. I don't know if I want to take it. So he said they pulled. Is that the only vaccine that's available in Sweden right now, the AstraZeneca, or was that the only one that was available?
To my knowledge, there was another one that was available. I forgot the name of it, but this was the one that most people were taking. This forgot the name of it. This recent one that got canceled. That was the one that everybody was.
Wow. Fascinating. Fascinating. Did you get the vaccine yet or no?
No.
Wow. Fascinating. Fascinating. This is in the Financial Times. They write, three Scandinavian nations stand apart from the rest of Europe in their reluctance to restart use of the AstraZeneca jab after at least 16 countries last week temporarily suspended or limited use over concerns about blood clots in a number of recipients. On Thursday, the European Medicines Agency declared the vaccine safe after its own probe found no link, and inoculation resumed in Germany, Italy, Spain, and other countries, with France limiting its use to the over 55s. Norway, Denmark, and Sweden say they will decide this week whether to restart their programs. Fascinating. Well, let's see. The other Scandinavian representative, our caller in Norway, Silent Warrior. So what is the update in your area, the vaccine, the restrictions? Are people rioting and protesting in the street? And which vaccines do you all have available in Norway? Oh, are you with us, Silent Warrior? Let's see. Make sure we got them. All right, there we go. Let's try that again. Silent Warrior, did you hear the question?
Yes, sir. I thought I was unmuted. The Prime Minister broke the restrictions, and there's a bit of hubbub about that for her 60th birthday. And AstraZeneca was pulled. I think there are two other vaccines that are available. Recently, there's been an increase in infections, and they say it's the new mutated virus. So portions of Norway are locked down, just as severe as last year at this time. Like, stores are closed and only supermarkets are open. But yeah, you know, if you want to get a vaccine, you can. You are encouraged to sign up and let them know you're interested. So that is being pushed everywhere. Anyone who wants a vaccine can sign up, let them know, between 19 and 80 years old. And the school I'm at have started to push this tracing app that had some privacy concerns and was pulled last year. Now it's being pushed again. So that's all. Yeah, and this new mutated virus, they say that if you have been around someone who has been confirmed, who's tested positive, everyone who's been around them is contact traced and asked to take a test. And that happened recently, and I was actually asked to take three tests within the space of a week, because they said that the mutated virus takes a longer time to test positive. So that's quite painful, because the way they do the test, they stick something down your nose. So I would imagine that there is a sizable portion of the population that are saying that they're not happy with the lockdowns, but there's no protest that I know of. But what they are definitely suspicious about is the vaccine. You know, how safe it is. Yeah. Now people are more likely to be wearing masks on the streets and definitely and in the stores. In the shopping, the food stores, you see workers wearing masks, and people are encouraged to wear. People, you see some people wearing masks on the street now, whereas before we weren't doing that. But this mutated virus that increased the numbers in the past week or so, past 2 weeks or so, you know. Yeah. I don't know what else. If you have any questions, I can answer.
You had to get three different tests? Wow, that's did you get the vaccine?
It's the same. No, it's the same test taken three times in like 3 or 4 day intervals. So they're testing for the same thing, but they say that this mutated virus takes a long time to show up on the test. And no, I've not taken the vaccine.
No vaccine. Okay. Are you going to, or are you going to wait?
I think I can wait.
Okay.
I would prefer to wait.
Okay.
Because they're saying if you're vaccinated, you still have to wear a mask. And if you're vaccinated, you might need further vaccinations down the road for other viruses. So what's the value of the vaccine? Is my question.
Good question. Are they having dialogue about it? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I'm just concerned about the effectiveness and the safety. What's your question?
Are they having a dialogue in Norway about a vaccine passport, like having some sort of documentation that you've had a negative COVID-19 test and or a vaccine in order to be able to travel to different parts of Europe or what have you?
I haven't seen that much discussion about it. No. No. Norway is not... Norway is part of the European Economic Area, but not part of the European Union. So it's possible it's unclear whether that is, if that would automatically pass to Norway.
Fascinating. I would certainly not be pleased about the vaccine passport, like having to get more paperwork to prove this and that to racist man and racist woman. And just giving them more grounds to deny you access, that would, no reason to celebrate that. Let's see, I'll try and add our folks from the UK region and also check in. Let's see, Che in Japan, so this will be a stark switch, switching to Monday morning in Japan. What exactly is the status of the Rona containment in that part of the world? I think last time we checked in, no vaccines there at all. So it wasn't even a question of, you know, you getting the vaccine, because that wasn't even accessible. So where does all that stand at this point?
I think now they've moved ahead a little bit with the vaccinations. It's still maybe about not in high numbers with what they're planning. They have lists And I know they've already approved like the Pfizer vaccine, and they've ordered however many millions of doses. And there are also other companies like the Australian one you mentioned. I can't remember the name. That's also supposedly been approved or pending approval, and a few other vaccines. But also Japan is trying to develop their own vaccine, domestically produced vaccine. But they've only just started, I think, testings for, vaccinating, mostly the medical workers. I think next on the list would be senior citizens, but I don't think that's begun yet. Senior citizens and also mentally disabled. I think that's really supposed to be next on the list. But, someone kind of average person like me, and I'm also not in the greatest affected areas, which are around the capital, around Tokyo, those prefectures where they still have emergency conditions. I'm way out. So I don't know when, if ever, I'd be on the list. I don't know when it would get to me. Also, they are thinking about this some sort of certificate or, you know, for travel documents. That's something that I think they're also deliberating. And that's kind of the situation pretty much that I know of right now.
Wow. Okay. So still, they've made some progress, but not enough progress that you have to be making a decision about whether you want your vaccine this week or probably not even next week. In terms of just your daily lived experience, is it disrupted? Like, is it, you know, things are shut down? Are you having to stay confined in the house? Are people just wearing masks and going out and doing things?
Not really, not so much. Again, not in my area. I think I'm not in a very, very big city, although it's a large enough city, but not very big, not a big commercial center, like especially around the Tokyo areas where they're keeping the lockdown. I don't know the situation there, what it is day to day. Other big cities like Kobe and Osaka, they're not on lockdown. Again, I don't know the situation, but in our city, there's no official emergency situation, and all we do, everyone is masked up. It's pretty much universal. If you're outside, you're masked up. And again, there's hand sanitizers everywhere. You pretty much cannot enter any establishment without a hand sanitizer, and everyone is relatively compliant. So everyone kind of spritzes with the alcohol dose going in and coming out, and that's about it. Nothing else is really too extreme here, not at all.
Fascinating. Context of white supremacy. Even that, like I said, depending on which part of the world you're in, totally different vaccine might be totally different results. Lots to learn in these days and times. Still, I failed to nab Andrew, a few of our other UK folks. Not that I can, you know, gripe having global representation, but since they are not here yet, I'm sure folks will have other questions about the vaccine and all. Just kind of make sure we can cover some of the major topics, and then we'll get to folks who dialed in, get to their questions, and hopefully some of our UK folks, they can straggle in while we still have time. Since we have Che with us, he's in Japan. There was so much attention in the U.S. on the shootings down in Georgia. 8 fatalities, 6 of the victims Asian females, 2 of the victims white. The shooter, Robert Aaron Long, 21-year-old white man, suspected racist, said he is not racist. He is a sex addict, whatever that means, and maybe just had a bad day. This has been kind of, or now is the epicenter of what they're calling anti-Asian violence in the U.S. You're in Japan. How has this been covered, or has it been covered at all in your part of the world? Is this something people are talking about?
Well, it has been in the news. the shooting in particular, the anti-Asian violence, I don't know that that was covered so, has been covered so much, but definitely the shooting did reach here, but I don't know that it made any big waves or ripples or anything like that. No, I'm sorry, I haven't heard much about that, but I mentioned it when I saw it and to my wife, and she had heard something about it, but I don't know that it's made any big news or any big waves over here.
Interesting. I'll just make sure then. So did you see any reports about black people being perpetrators of these crimes against Asian Americans?
Well, actually, to be honest, what I've been following is what I've been following on the cows, as far as that particular situation. So yes, I did hear it, kind of secondhand through listening to Cow's broadcast recently.
Okay, much obliged. Appreciate the honesty. Appreciate the listenership. I don't know if that counts, though. That happens regularly. I'll be excited to talk to folks around the world and ask them about something news-related. They say, well, I was watching CNN the other day. And they say, like, man, I know what Don Lemon said. Like, I was calling for something else. But much obliged for listening in. Let's see. Are folks in different parts of Europe, I'm curious to see as well, has the anti-Asian violence been covered? We'll start with Silent Warrior. He's in Norway. Has the shooting this week and the what they're calling anti-Asian violence, has that got any attention in Norway?
No, sir, not at all. But there has been groups of so-called minorities increase in discussion about racism. I was at one earlier today. It had a focus on LGBT and women. I asked them for the definition of racism and which group is more confused, white or non-white.
And they said...
It wasn't as bad as it could have been. I mean, it was the oldest black woman said, I'm not confused. I'm definitely not confused. And another person said, the only other black male said, both white and non-white are confused. Another person said, and only when that person started to say it's both groups, because it's like leaders of small organizations put it together. So when it started to break that way, then someone said, yeah, we know some people who don't realize that racism is being practiced against them. So that was, it seemed like a mixed bag. But when it came to definitions, I didn't see that many clear, concise definitions. They use words like discrimination and color and things, but they use the word systemic a lot. You know, a lot of discussion had the same talking points that I see happening now with the recent refinement of racism. So there's a lot of discussion about systemic racism, but no actual definition for it. But those two questions that I got from Mr. Fuller's work, it was really helpful because I could see that people started having to think about, well, how do I answer this question? So I made one contact afterwards, so that was cool.
Excellent work, Silent Warrior, asking questions. Excellent tactic with white people and non-white people. Sometimes that's the best way to minimize conflict and arguing. I have seen it happen, but you can minimize strife with just asking questions. Particularly asking for definition of racism, especially if you're in an environment with a lot of conflation. Like they say, we're here to talk about racism or discrimination or privilege or bias or whatever. And it's, yes, we have LGBTQ and sexism and patriarchy and ageism. It's like, oh man, conflation. Let's get a definition of racism first. Like, let's try to get some precision, clarity. Let's see. So he said no. He gave us a very straight no. Attention to the anti-Asian violence in Norway. Our caller in Sweden, has there been any attention? Robert Aaron Long, did he get any press attention in Sweden this week?
No. I've seen one article, but that's just it.
Dang. Hmm. Well, system of white supremacy. Again, white lives matter. I think it would have been drastically different.
Can I say one thing real quick, Gus?
Silent Warrior in Norway.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I'd just like to say what it seems to be the case in Norway is that the non-white people here consider themselves a minority, and they're just trying to get people to accept that racism even exists. That's their primary goal, that racism exists. But also, and while that is being pushed, you have another group sneaking up on them to talk about minorities within minorities and discrimination against trans. So the refinement from America is also being, it's coming on strong over here. Just as we're about to get people to talk about what they call war dogs, racism, or everyday racism, that is actually racism and not okay. So like we're trying to get people, people are trying to get people to discuss that racism exists in Norway.
White people do exchange information about how best to manage the plantation. We read that in The Half Has Never Been Told, 2016, I believe that was. But he talked about that. They would share data. They do that on a global scale. We talked to Kim Heller in South Africa. She had read Jane Elliott and Tim Wise and all the rest of it. She knew all about that. James Baldwin. Same thing here. They import that. Yes, there's discrimination. Black people, they mistreat their black people, are homophobic and all the rest of it. And conflation. Just add in some confusion to what is going on. Let's see. So we got no's pretty much across the board, even in Japan, about anti-Asian violence and what have you. Not that big a deal. Well, certainly he said it was reported, but wasn't a big to-do in Japan. Wow. Let's see. I have still failed thus far to get our representatives from the UK on with us. I'll try once again, see if we can get Andrew on the line as well. We'll get a word in on the fiasco. I don't know. We'll see if our folks here who are outside of the UK area, if they paid attention at all to the hubbub with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry and all. Like I said, we normally have at least one or two folks from the UK area. So this is, I would think, would be more salient for them, maybe. But still failing to nab Andrew and folks. While we're waiting, I see our caller in Sweden. Did you pay any attention? Did you see all of that? Or was that, you know, I don't pay attention to the royal family. I don't care about that. We got bigger priorities.
A little bit when I saw it. I just said Dr. Wells in a moment and just kept on moving.
Dr. Welsing, indeed. That was what made me pay attention to it. As I said, I have failed. That is my mission for 2021. The ultimate mission is replace white supremacy with justice. ASAP. That said, finding that audio where Dr. Welsing, she was talking about Princess Diana, Prince Harry's mother. She was Dodi Fayed, their engagement. The exact same questions about how dark could the offspring be? Is Dodi Fayed classified as white? Might be a little dark. I'm not sure. I believe that's why I said I like being accurate. Strive for accuracy, but I strongly believe, my memory is, she was even connecting all of this to the suspicious death in 1997. But I have to go back and get the audio to be for certain, but Dr. Welsing moment for sure. Let's see, our silent warrior in Norway, did you pay attention at all to the royal family kerfuffle?
Most definitely. And I have a little Dr. Welsin, Dr. Francis Welsin and Lily Fuller study group, and that post had the biggest discussion about it. You know, one thing I remember, I've looked at Diana's death as well, and some researchers say that she was pregnant with Dodi's child at the time. And they did some ritual, you know, some crazy rituals to make sure that she died at that spot and also killed the child. So, I looked at it. It looks like the female version of Get Out. I felt like this is, but the poor woman doesn't realize. One thing I noticed, someone pointed out, they say that Meghan's mother is black, but Meghan's mother is black, but is also not as, doesn't have, a, isn't that strong with her melanin concentration herself. Another thing I observed was Meghan essentially has recreated the situation that her mother did by marrying into a white family where she's been mistreated, and her child, Archie, which is probably will be ambiguous, but is essentially non-white, will also be mistreated, already has been, by not being provided with protection. But still, you know, non-white victim, VGQ. One thing I noticed, there's this moment when, I couldn't watch the whole interview, but there's this moment when Oprah's asking him something, Harry something, and you have this slight smile from Harry's mouth before she's asking Harry about racism. He has this very quick micro smile that happens. So I took a picture of that and shared it in the group. But essentially, Harry's obviously practicing racism. He doesn't identify to the entire world who this white person is who made this remark. So, and in that sense, he is also allowing his wife to get his so-called wife to, you know, be subjected to more abuse. Yeah. It's a sad situation, I guess.
Interracial relationships, so-called, are sad. Tragic. That the smirk or grin, I believe that may have been, I don't have the video in front of me, but I believe it may have been at the point where she asked about, you know, this conversation about the child being too dark. And she asked him twice, he said, I will never identify that person or share anything about the conversation. And he doubled that. Oh, absolutely. Not snitching. Standard operating procedure. Not snitching on racists. And I think when we talked about all of this in the archives on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, one of our listeners pointed out that even Meghan Markle, it seemed, they were most concerned about Prince Harry, the white man, his safety. Like she was saying at one point, like, oh, it doesn't matter, you know, Archie and me, you don't have to protect us. But I mean, you know, he was born into this, like, protect him. Like, and even him saying that he was not really grasping the seriousness of this until they removed protection from him. And it was like, oh my gosh, like, this is crazy. Like, man, system of racism, again, White Lives Matter. Let's see. We have still failed to get some of the folks from the UK, so we'll see if some of the folks that are with us have questions that they would like to ask any of our international participants. The number again is 720-716-7300, the code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Let's see. Caller in Florida, if you had a question for some of our folks, different parts of the world, line should be open. Proceed.
Oh, yes. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to that's the host, the listeners and callers. I just wanted to ask any of the guests, with the news reports across the world or in your specific area, do they tend to have like a I don't know. Some people may say a diverse sense, so a diverse group of like news anchors, or is it still like only white? How do they have it over there? I just was just wanted to ask that question, like the news reporters or the news anchors.
Interesting.
Is it like white or non-white or
fascinating? Now, I'm very curious to hear the answers, but if I was in Vegas, I think I would have to wager very hard, because we have three, unless I'm mistaken, we have three of the most homogenous in terms of racial classifications in the world, countries like Norway, the Scandinavian countries especially, like they brag about, you know, hey, we are white. I think I call it Silent Warrior. He said, just, hey, it's not even that many so-called minorities here. We're just trying to convince them. But I will not answer for them. But I would suspect, the newscasts in Norway is going to be extra super special white. Hitler white. And then Japan, I would expect super Japanese, non-white people classified as Japanese. But I could be in error. I've never been to any of these areas. Let's see. Our caller in Sweden, the demographics of your journalists, TV journalists, I would think.
I only know one, and her name is Katarina Sjöström. That's the only one I'm aware of.
Only one non-white journalist? Wow. Okay. And is she on TV regularly there?
She was when I was a kid, but not too much anymore.
Dang, that's not funny, but I mean, dang, that was about what I thought. In fact, that's even more than what I thought. He said he's aware of one, and she's not on TV so much anymore. Let's see. Silent Warrior, demographics of the journalists in Norway.
Well, regular news looks almost, until it looks the same as it was in the 80s, like same setup. You might see one non-white, one probably a black female, or someone who has a white Norwegian parent. I think I've seen that once. I'm also happy I can name at least one reporter. His name is Fredrik Solvang. He was adopted from South Korea and grew up in Norway. And he Norwegian, but not Norwegian. And he presents things in a somewhat conservative way. He's not necessarily the kind of person he might advocate for non-white people, is my impression. Like, I remember 5-7 years ago, he was complaining that international students get first choice in student housing, which is obvious because international students can't go online and contact renters when they don't speak Norwegian. So you need to have student housing prioritized for them, obviously. But this fellow, with his non-white ethnicity, I mean, both his parents are most likely white Norwegian. This guy didn't know it. Couldn't see it. They like the non-whites to be integrated thoroughly. Erase your previous identity. Because Norway is such a tiny, they see themselves as a tiny country of 5 million people. They got this language that no one else in the world speaks. I mean, Swedes, Denmark, and Iceland, we can understand one another when we use most, we can, the languages are close, but in general, Norwegian, nobody else speaking it, nobody else taking time to learn it. So they have this identity where they're really tiny. So, in fact, I would say Dr. Wilson moment, they would have an even, they have this identity where they know they're tiny compared to the world and they know they can talk about it and they can possibly, most likely feel threatened by the outside world. And they use the wealth that they get from the oil to make a nice society for themselves and try to maintain their traditions that they've had. I mean, in the 1970s, 1960s, Norway was relatively poor. I understand that. And you can see it in some of the houses from that time or furniture. It's like, anyway, so I'm sorry if I'm rambling, but we only got Frederick Solvang. He's from South Korea, and that's the only prominent journalist. Specializes in politics and debate. I mute my line.
Much obliged, Silent Warrior. Let's see, Che in Japan, the demographics of the journalists.
As far as non-white the word journalist, what I have seen is it's like, but I don't know what you would call them, semi-journalists. I know my there was a weatherman, I believe it was the weatherman on one news channel, where that was actually a black man, and then other shows that are not quite like TV news shows, but no shows which might be somewhat informative. And I mean, Japan has a strange kind of variety show where they give news and information, but it's also like a half of a game show, but yet it's also providing news and information. And so these kind of variety shows, you will see black faces there. So beyond that, there are black faces on Japanese TV, but in like hosting shows, not really, you know, journalism in the strictest sense, or in it, actually sometimes some of these roles that I'm mentioning about black people, they kind of frivolous shows and kind of, you know, not really serious journalism per se. So other than that, I mean, non-white, if we expand it to non-white, then, you know, Asian faces, maybe Korean and Korean and Japanese, or someone who's Japanese but might have some other Asian parentage, those people, but that won't be so noticeable. But those people certainly exist, or Korean or Japanese people with one white parent, something like that. But But as far as black people specifically, yeah, as far as black people specifically, not quite in this most serious journalism, I'll say that. But again, people popping up on shows that have to do with some sort of information, providing information, but not quite journalists in the traditional or in the strictest sense.
Right on. Much obliged. Hopefully that answered our caller in Florida's question. If it didn't, you can let us know. Oh my goodness. Let's see if we can get Andrew in with us as well. Let's see. Do we have Andrew in the UK with us?
Hi, Gus. Yep, glad to be here. Can you hear me okay?
Spectacular. He was probably out rioting with his fellow white countrymen about the Rona restrictions and what have you. The question that was just posed, I guess you can hop in and you can give an answer as well. The journalists in the I can say I just saw one. It was a non-white male who got into it with Piers Morgan about Meghan Markle when he stormed off, and that was his farewell. The question was, what are the demographics of the journalists when the news comes on television and the people that are doing the reporting, serious news reporting, the demographics? How many non-white people do you have actually giving you the news in, I guess, the UK or England specifically?
Well, the numbers have gone up. You know, the numbers of the numbers of TV journalists, TV presenters, and that kind of thing, you know, has gone up. But it's called, as you know, Gus, it's called racial showcasing, right? So the numbers have gone up in front of the camera, probably behind as well. But as we all know, kind of means nothing. What we're talking about is he's pulling those strings, right? So that's really what we're talking about. Number one, we're talking about who's pulling the strings, and also we've also got to talk about the political awareness of the black people that are racially showcased in positions of being put on TV doing news or on the radio doing news. Yeah, do we understand? So it's also whether or not it's one thing having a media qualification degree, university qualification, but it's another thing understanding what it is you're actually talking about. And, you know, the two are not necessarily the same. Being articulate doesn't mean you've got any brains. You know, so I want to say that too. But we're basically talking about racial showcasing.
Much obliged. Now we got his response as well. Round things out with our caller in Florida's question. Now that we got Andrew, we can rewind a little bit and then move it forward. We were eager to get folks in the UK with us to get your thoughts on the kerfuffle with Meghan Markle, Prince Harry. I don't know if you don't strike me as someone who would keep up with their every move, and you know, what was Meghan Markle wearing today, and oh my God, she got new slip. You don't strike me as that sort of person, but since they were talking about racism, I did take note. Did you pay attention, have any thoughts on what has transpired with their allegations of racism at the royal family?
I must admit, I found it funny. I didn't follow the wedding because that was foolishness. But I found all this. I followed all this nonsense a little bit because it was a good comedy show. And I heard in the car today, before I move on to the point, Gus, I heard in the car today that the palace is going to review its anti-racism policy. So they're going to review their anti-racism policy, whatever that means. I don't even know what that means, but apparently that was on the news today, right? But yeah, we have followed the comedy show that is that is all of that nonsense. You know, I have looked at it. It's a big, to me anyway, sorry, but it's just a big joke, really. You know, I mean, this woman, right? Sorry.
whatever thing is, right? She meets, I don't even know where she meets Harry. I don't even know, right? But they meet. For some reason, she wants to marry him. I don't really know why. Whatever. I hardly care. And then she goes to meet his racist family. Well, I mean, what does she expect? You know, this is a family that's steeped in racism. You know, they've earned money, right? You know, that family, the royal family, has been the chief family that's earned money out of the blood, sweat and tears of black people, African people. You know, that's what that family's been doing for hundreds of years. Right, you know, and I've seen in the news. I don't know whether it's true or not. Because can you really believe what's in, you know, what's on mainstream news? I doubt it. But I've heard on there's something about wanting to reform the royal family or wanting to, you know, change what they're about. Blah blah. You know, all that sort of stuff doesn't make any sense. You know, when you see the royal family, you're seeing the tip of an iceberg. That's what you're seeing. There's a whole load of stuff underneath the royal, you know, really that's beneath the water when you look at the royal family, right? And it's full on racist practice in the extreme. And that's what a lot of people don't quite understand. You know, with all the polish on top, all that means nothing. It's a vicious, vindictive pyramid of racism, you know, and they basically sit at the apex of it. So I don't really know what she thought she would find when she got to that place called Buckingham Palace. I really don't know. And, you know, that what I've heard some black people saying about the marriage, all of that really is yet to be unpicked. What I've heard some black people swooning over that couple. No one's really analysed that yet. It's crazy. So, and then they, you know, a few white media people, you know, call their child monkey, whatever it was, you know, some white racist there called Danny, but they sacked him. I can't remember what his name is, but they sacked him. And a few others like Piers Morgan, I've had it in for because he's a white male. He thinks he can say what he wants. There's loads of white men like that in this country. Piers Morgan, he's just one of many. He walked out of that job because he knows he can just go and get another job somewhere else. Some other right male racist is going to hire him because they're mates. It doesn't mean anything to him to walk out of that job. He can just walk into another job. You know, they're all going to hire him because they all love him. Do you know what I mean? You know, so he has an argument with some non-white man who's a weather forecaster on that channel. And I've heard it quite rightly said on the radio, most newsreaders in a junior position like that non-white male would normally not challenge a powerful white man like Piers. So, you know, but because of the times we're living in, the white liberals, in my opinion, have given him some leeway to challenge other, you know, unfashionable white men for a little while until the liberals reign, you know, stop that, get bored of doing it, if you're understanding me. So, you know, Piers doesn't like it on that day, walks off the job. You could walk into another job. You know, that non-white man is still lucky to have a job. We have to understand that he's lucky to still be employed by those white liberals, you know, because it's fashionable. Black Lives Matter is fashionable. All this other stuff is fashionable. They're running a lot of those agendas, by the way. So, I mean, you know, that's the reality of what's going on. Piers Morgan could walk into another job. He could take his racist self into another job and just continue. You know, it means nothing to him. He could just go and get another job. Yeah.
Might have a job today, making more money, even get a salary, salary increase. The BBC, they have a fantastic stock photo of the Queen in a smashing pink hat, matching blazer. She has her pin, pearls, wow, grandmother, matronly. And so the article title is diversity review underway at Buckingham Palace. You roll down. The work is looking to improve. The work is looking at improving diversity at Buckingham Palace, Clarence House, and Kensington Palace. Royal sources. He's still chuckling at us. Royal sources have stressed that the palace already has policies, procedures, and programs in place, but has not seen the progress it was like. Look at that alliteration. All those P's. The work began before the Duke and Duchess of Sussex made allegations of racism within the royal family. Prince Harry and Meghan's interview with Oprah Winfrey included claims they had been asked how dark their son's skin would be before his birth. The Duchess said there had been concerns and conversations about how dark Archie's skin might be when he's born. Both Prince Harry and Meghan refused to say who made the comment, but Harry later clarified to Oprah that it was not the Queen or the Duke of Edinburgh. The issue of race was one of the most difficult aspects of the interview for the royal family. In response, Buckingham Palace described those issues as particularly concerning, saying they would be taken very seriously and will be addressed by the family privately. The Duke of Cambridge later said the royals were very much not a racist family in response to questions about the interview. Comments made by the Sussexes will now form part of the diversity review, which was first reported by the Mail on Sunday. The Mail on Sunday described the work as a major drive. It will take place in collaboration with people from minority backgrounds, disabled people, and gay and transgender communities. Buckingham Palace is seeking independent views and is looking at new ways of approaching all issues of diversity within the royal household. I will stop there. Conflation. I think we had that mentioned before. Conflation. We started off addressing racism, and now we've drifted into transgender and ageism. And Norway, London, Georgia. Conflation. Much obliged. Got our royal family controversy in from at least one of our London folks. Let's see. Thomas in New York, did you have a question for our international callers? Give them a moment to get to a quieter area. Should be here Wednesday. Judith Finlayson.
Thank you, Gus. Thank you. Yeah, okay, white woman, right?
Yep.
Oh, perfect. What you just said, sometimes it makes you wonder who's the parent, who's the child, the UK or the US, because that was US refinement. And we're going to investigate this. They must have called the White House. Like, how do y'all handle this type of thing? Oh, that's easy. Just say you're going to do an investigation. Perfect. Andrew wasn't here. I wanted to hear his response. To your question, Gus, how did they cover the Asian shootings in the UK?
Did you get that, Andrew? How have they covered the shooting in Atlanta this week? Robert Aaron Long, 21-year-old white man who killed 8 people, 6 of them classified as Asian females. How was that covered in the UK press and the so-called anti-Asian violence in general? How has that been covered in your part of the world?
Well, first of all, I've got to apologize, Gus, because I just realized you came on at 7 o'clock. I didn't see that properly. Apologies for that. Regarding the shooting, sorry, I've not seen any coverage of that at all. I heard of some sort of shooting, but I have not seen that covered at all. I've not seen it covered at all.
Wow. Well, number one, I bragged earlier about saying that It took me 10 years, but I finally got it right that in the U.S., white people, they move the clocks ahead an hour, but they do it earlier than the folks in Europe and other parts of the world. So there's a brief interval where instead of there being an 8-hour time difference for us, it shrinks to a 7-hour time difference. So instead of the program starting at 8 p.m., it starts at 7 p.m. And I said, I finally, bing, I got it correct this year. I said, oh, we'll be on at 7 p.m. your time. Put that in the email and, oop, still. It's hard even to figure out the time sometimes. But that is four strikes. Japan, Norway, Sweden, UK, all said not a whole lot of coverage or nothing at all. Like, Nathan, that is, if this had been a white person, white victims, if this had been, you know, Parkland or whatever, Columbine, one of the shootings where it was exclusively white people that were shot and killed, I don't know if that would have made a difference. I certainly know if it had been a black person that went out and did this, I think that would have got a lot more attention too. But wow, that is, I also will say, I mean, system of white supremacy. I mean, you go out and kill eight people, like, I don't know if that's like big news. I mean, you almost have to kill like 50 people now. Like, it's so many shootings. Like, people don't even remember Parkland. People don't even remember Columbine. Like, you have to kill like a lot. How many people remember the guy who shot up all those people in Las Vegas in 2017? People remember his name?
Not at all.
I remember that.
He killed 50 people. Steven Paddock, he killed 50 people. That's what I mean. Like, you have to kill like a lot of people. Like, or be O.J. Simpson to like really stick and for it to get major attention. People know about the event and all that. Like, if it's just you killed like 4, 5, 8 people, like, oh, well, isn't it pizza time? Like, sister, they'll kill somebody else tomorrow. That's the system of white supremacy. I mean, it's just total disregard for life. But that is stunning. For something where Joe Biden went to like Georgia to go talk to the victims and everything. And yeah. Oh, well, let's see. Other folks, if you have questions, we have about 10, 15 minutes left in the broadcast.
Oh, I did have questions. I just...
Oh, right on. Right, yeah.
I was saying I did have questions. I just wanted to hear his response to your question. But I did have questions for the people in Scandinavia. And the Wallenbergs, they don't to do competition well. So you're going to be stuck with AstraZeneca. Do you guys get universal basic income up there?
No.
Are white people getting it?
To my knowledge, I don't know if you get the universal income.
Oh, okay. And I did have a question.
Yeah, it is possible to get some income under, like, it's like welfare under special circumstances. Many people are getting that, I would imagine, if they are out of work or can't work because of COVID. I think 60% of what their income would be. Some of it comes with conditions, like you have to go back to school or you have to be looking a job and you have to prove that. But yeah, it is always considered a welfare state, welfare societies for a reason. But no, I'm not getting it.
I had been hearing that people up there be living well off of the government. That's why I asked. To the gentleman in Japan, I had two quick questions. The tennis Naomi Osaka, are there anti-black comments made about her?
Yes, do you mean in a public sphere or just on the street level?
Or either.
Okay, well, there was actually a little controversy. It was less than 6 months ago, where a broadcaster on some sort of talk show made some comments about her and saying that, you know, she had stayed out, made a joke that she had stayed out in the sun too long and that she had, you know, she'd gotten a little too tan, which she responded to like pretty promptly, I think like the next day or two. But what I didn't, this woman, and then the woman apologized, made a public statement. Naomi Osaka, she's kind of, she's a little too retiring for my taste. I think I wish she would have VGQ, but she didn't kind of push the issue because the woman made the comments directly naming Naomi Osaka. But when she made the apology, she made the apology rather vague. And she said something like, to the person who might have been offended by this, so on and so forth. She didn't actually name her in the apology. And Naomi accepted the apology, but and she kind of said, you know, we've taken care of it and so on. And, you know, I wish that she had, that this woman had been made to actually publicly acknowledge the person she had said it to in the apology. It's kind of vague when you just say, put something out there like that. But that happened a few months ago. As far as on the street, I think that I've seen some on the street kind of interviews, and it goes kind of back and forth. I think, or like in the internet, sort of like online net users and so on. Well, yeah, sure. The majority, the what they call half, they have a Japanese word hafu, which is like modeled off the English word half, and that sort of culture that's kind of promoted now. I guess that's kind of the fashion now, especially in the world of sports. I think they realize that, you know, especially if you're one of your parents is black, they really like to promote that. So a lot of people maybe are pro that, but you still have some sort of reactionary comments and so on circulating among the people. Yeah.
Gus?
That's Andrew in the UK.
I think this is worth mentioning. You probably already knew it's the United Nations. Today is meant to be the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. So, you know, so in Brixton today, and apparently all over the place, there's been call it what you want, marches, protests against racism. And I mean, I didn't know it was anything to do with the UN. I knew about the march in Brixton. They're happening all over the country. So I don't know. I'd like to know if anybody in the US, if you've heard of that over there.
First I heard of it. I didn't know anything about it. That's why he was late. I told you he was out protesting. Yeah. I told you. I know what I'm talking about. I guess that was all of your questions, Thomas in New York. Didn't mean to cut you off there.
Yeah, apologies. Yeah. Apologies to come in, sorry.
You're good. No worries.
Oh, no, man. That was important because I didn't know, and I live where the UN is. They certainly aren't doing that here in New York. So, you know, no anti-racism day or nothing like that. I did have a question because I was speaking to a gentleman from the Philippines, and he was telling me about the white rape of the white soldiers raping the women on the island there. And that was my last question to the person from Japan. Is that a problem there? Because I know that the United States does have military bases there. That was my last question.
Oh, yeah. Concerning rape by the military, it's really, really bad. The base is all over Japan, but the main military, U.S. military installations are mostly on the island of Okinawa. And Okinawa, although it's part of the Japanese nation, they're kind of separate and they're kind of a different people. It's really far. Okinawa is almost getting near to like Philippines. They're not exactly the same as Japanese people, and they were never considered for their entire history. They're basically like the niggers of Japan, at least one of the groups of niggers of Japan. They also have other groups, but the Okinawans. So they put the base there. And yeah, just rapes after rape after rape after rape. It's like, it's almost like the shootings, like we just said, like you almost don't even notice it anymore when you hear about it. They do it all the time. They get little slaps on the wrist, if anything. And Okinawa, the Okinawan, the mayor of Okinawa and Okinawan people protest this, you know, all the time. It's an ongoing thing that they're trying to get the base removed, or at least try to tell the Japanese government, look, if you want to, you know, court the American military, then put them on the main island, you know, with Japanese people, take them off of our island. So yeah, that sort of, that rape thing, it's just, it's incredible. Yeah, it's really bad, epidemic.
Tragic. Try and go in order here. So, this is from thenationalnews.com. Naomi Osaka responded to two sunburned comment with plug for sponsor's sunscreen. Japanese tennis star Naomi Osaka has responded to a comedy duo's remark that claimed she was too sunburned and needed some bleach, with some wit of her own, by plugging cosmetic giant and sponsor. Shiseido, I think. The comedians apologized after their remarks at a live event on September 22, same day Osaka won the Pan Pacific Open, although neither they nor their management company referred to Osaka by name. Too sunburned, lol, that's wild, Osaka said on Twitter late on Sunday night. Then she plugs her company. Goes on to say, successful so-called mixed race athletes, whatever that means. In January, Japanese noodle company Nissin removed a commercial in which a cartoon character depicting Osaka was shown with pale skin and light brown hair after it prompted outcry. In my view, it would be better prompted accusations of white supremacy racism, anti-blackness. That would be better than outcry. That makes it sound like you're a child. Our feelings, that's charges of anti-blackness, racism, white supremacy. The other report, with the U.S. bases, this is just a couple months back. In addition to the U.S. Soldiers raping non-white females and children and all the rest of it. So the Rona situation, the same white people that are not taking the Rona seriously, and I'm not going to wear a mask and all the rest of it. So some of these are the soldiers on the base in Okinawa. So at NPR, not going to read the whole thing, relations between the more than 25,000, just to give scope, U.S. military forces on Okinawa and that Japanese island's 1.5 million residents have long been strained over pollution, crime, rape, they don't say rape, and overcrowding associated with the 31 U.S. military bases there. Now a new outbreak of COVID-19 cases among American service members stationed on Japan's southernmost territory is fraying things further apart. Remember talking about that then? Same sort of attitude. Let's see, let me make sure we didn't miss out any other folks call in, wanted to slip a question in. Oh, did I miss? I think I missed one. The Rona situation. That's right. What is the Rona situation? Andrew in London, I know they had protests. They said thousands, plural, thousands were out in the streets mad yesterday, stomping up and down. Oh, wait a minute. Even before I get to that, I had a note specifically for Andrew. And then I'll get back to my question about the protests and the Rona and all that. Mr. Andrew, are you familiar at all with September 27, 1980, Alan Minter versus Marvin Hagler at Wembley Stadium? Is that significant to you at all?
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure I watched the fight. Alan Minter, a white English boxer. He might be dead by now. I'm not sure. But Marvelous Marvin Hagler, he's passed, hasn't he? And pretty sure he's passed on with Thomas Hearns, I think. We would have watched it at the time, I think. You know, it's 40 years ago. But I'm pretty sure, you know, yeah, that would have been a middleweight competition, right? Middleweight, but yeah, I can't remember. I know they were both middleweights. I'm pretty sure Marvelous Marvin Hagler would have won. Hopefully, I'd have to put my memory cap on for the detail though. But yeah.
Let me help jog your memory cap, because you're pretty good so far. Middleweight championship, absolutely. Minter was the champion. Marvelous Marvin Hagler was the number one ranked contender. So I'm reading an article. I just posted this report a few days ago after Mr. Hagler's death at the age of 66. So the report reads, "No black man," growled Minter to an interviewer, "is going to take my title." And by the time the rafters of Wembley Arena had stopped reverberating after some 15,000 gave a thunderous rendition of "God Save the Queen," it began to dawn on the organizers of the bout what was taking place. They had unwittingly created a flashpoint for the worst manifestations of British nationalism. Gangs of young white men filled the upper tiers, and by this time they had been freely buying and drinking beer for hours. Sobriety would be best. The pro-white, pro-British passions, as well as the anti-American sentiments, were on full display. They don't say racist, white supremacist, but oh man, Marvin Hagler proceeds to... Wait a minute, is that enough to spark your memory?
Yeah, you see what it is, right? A lot of people have got to understand that at that time and now, well, at that time you had over racism in the UK. You had something called the National Front. You had, if you walk, you had skinheads roaming the streets trying to beat up black people. I got chased down Oxford Street and this is 1983, 84, in my shell suit. I used to go and body pop, you know, down that place called Covent Garden. Three of us, 14 years old, walking down around Soho, walking around there. We had a group of mods behind us. And one of them come up and elbowed me in the mouth. We had to run. We were little kids. So this country was over, you know, at all the boxing fights, all of the football matches. You're talking about full-on racist chanting. You know, I mean, we do a men's group on a Saturday morning. Yesterday, we had a boxing football agent on, quite a well-known agent back in the 70s and 80s. He was on talking to the guys. And he was the agent for Nigel Benn. You may remember Nigel Benn. He was the agent for Nigel Benn, as well as a football agent as well. So he told us about the racism at that time. You know what I mean? You know, you're talking about full on white men, you know, the crowds are full of white men just chanting all kinds of banal racist chanting. That is what this country is. People have to understand that is this country. You know what I mean? And now you've just got, it's just been polished, kind of. Do you know what I mean? So no, it doesn't surprise me at all. It really doesn't.
The this fight is on YouTube. It is infamous because this was for the middleweight championship. Marvin Hagler, undisputed number one challenger, Minter, white man, Britain. He was the champ in Wembley Stadium. So Marvin Hagler destroys Minter. They have to stop the fight. He has a bad cut, and I mean, absolute annihilation, no contest. So immediately, as soon as Hagler wins, the crowd of what they just said, drunk white men, racist white men, and what he just, overt racism. Oh man, like. They start throwing bottles and debris. Like, it is the only time I have ever seen a boxing match where there is no announcement, and particularly where a title changes hands, and no in the ring, you get to put your hands up and all that. In fact, Marvin Hagler did an interview before he died, and he talks about how he was so robbed in that moment, because he said if you box or whatever your sport is, your profession, if there's a championship, you dream of that moment. You get the championship and you get to raise your arms and victory and your family can see you and all of you can take your picture and get your moment. Like, this is what I did all that work for and I've been striving and working for and all the rest. And to have that totally taken away because you have a mob of terrorists, rioting white men mostly, totally going crazy and practicing racism, they had to literally cover him up and scurry him out of Wembley Stadium for safety as the crowd like pelted everyone with debris. I think the announcers who were at the stadium said that it was a total absolute disgrace. Like, it's on YouTube. You can watch it. Like, I posted it. It is a counter-racism study from the God Save the Queen all the way to, oh my God, we're going to have to run out of here. Like, they're going to kill us. Like, what in the world? It is a disgrace. Marvelous Marvin Hagler, dead this week at the age of 66. That is one moment in racism. That night, way back when, September 1980, Wembley Arena, God Save the Queen, indeed. Now they're having diversity at the Royal Palace. So I got my Marvin Hagler. So back to the Rona. They were out protesting, thousands jumping up and down. We're not going to lock down again, and this is ridiculous. What is the status with the lockdowns and the vaccine passport that they're talking about? What is the status of that in London right now, and have you gotten a vaccine since we spoke with you last?
I got my vaccine. My vaccine got to be almost 3 weeks ago now. I got that. To be honest with you, the only reason I really got it is to tell other black people that I've got it. I don't really think, personally, I think I'm fit and healthy. I only really got it because there's a load of, a lot of black people are dying over here. You know, we're in the frontline jobs. You know, we're the bus drivers. We're doing those frontline jobs. You know, a lot of non-white people are the doctors, the nurses, the admin, the frontline admin staff in hospitals and all the rest of it, right? Yet there's a load of conspiracy theories about it. You know, there's nanites in it, there's bugs in it, they can track your movement, it's this, that, and the other, and all that, and it's all foolishness, right? So, you know, we need to protect ourselves. And, you know, I mean, years ago, there's this phrase, when AIDS first came out, there's this, as kids, we used to say, don't die of ignorance, die of AIDS. It's foolish, we found it funny, but it's not funny, you know. So I got it so when I hear people saying there's nanites in it and there's this, that, there's, you know, I can say, well, I got it, fine. I can go in and talk to my mum. I could go in and, you know, my mum's got the jab. I can go in, I can have a conversation with her without putting the food shopping at the door and walking off. And then when I say that, food shopping at the door and walking off, everybody shuts up. Because what they're doing, they're endangering their elderly relatives. They're still going in, knowing full well their old mother and father are vulnerable because they've not had the jab. Do you understand? So that's the conversation. So I've taken it, and, you know, that's it. You know, so today, I don't know, I'm assuming it was for COVID. And probably for a million other reasons. There's some, you know, Hopa rioting going on in a place called Bristol. There's protesters, you can Google it. There's protesters basically fighting the police. And I think it's a big thing. It's all over the news. It's probably happening in different parts of the country. I think it's because of Corona. I think it's partly because of the general sort of lockdown. People want to get out and about and drink. I think it's because, you know, some people have lost their jobs or whatever. Probably a whole load of college students got nothing else to do. Also, I think recently there's a white woman that got killed in South London in a park. This white woman got killed by a policeman, an off-duty policeman. So you got all the feminists out, all the female white feminists, and probably one or two womanists out and they're basically, you know, been protesting about that. So I think there's a lot of protest for a lot of different reasons that's congealed into this thing that's happening in Bristol. So that's what's, you got, you know, everybody's protesting out for their own sort of little thing, kind of thing, you know. And mainly white faces, basically, you know. So some have taken the knee, you know. It's just a mixed bag of sort of liberal white people doing what they do, basically, you know.
Do what they do. Indeed. Wow, okay. So he's been vaccinated and able to visit with his mom, who's also got the jab. Like, okay, wow. And he can report back to other black people. The disinformation, Nurse Rivers got you. There has been a lot of that reported. I even feel like white people, I could be in error, but because white people have focused so much attention on black people being suspicious and Tuskegee and Nurse Rivers, I feel like that has contributed greatly to there being more black people who say that, when I think the real issue is not having access. They've made it difficult, at least in the U.S. they've made it kind of difficult. Actually, in the U.S. and globally, they've made it difficult for black people to access the virus, or the vaccine, excuse me. They have the data. We played a lot of reports. The data that sites where the vaccine is available is much easier to access in areas with more white people. And on the macro, they said the entire continent, we don't know when you all get the vaccine, like check back in a couple years. Like, we don't, said the same thing for Brazil, where they have lots of people who are classified as black. So that at least is something folks should be mindful of, report on, that the problem, at least right now, does not seem to be that black people are, so there, I'm not, there is lots of disinformation. There are lots of black people who, you know, have lots of concerns and theories and disinformation, all of the above, concerning the vaccine. But main problem, lots of black people do not have access. Like, if they wanted it right now, if you have lots of black people who thought the way that Andrew is, does, there would be a lot of black people who would not be able to get the jab. So grand report, share, let other folks know. I said, you said you had a group of folks that you do your community work with on Saturdays in the morning. We all get some activity, boxing and all the rest. That is spectacular. Let them know, share with other black people. Hey, the nanobots did not get me. I'm still alive. Like, because they were even saying that they were passing rumors that Marvin Hagler died because he got the vaccine, and I think that is not founded. Like, come on, let's at least try, strive for accuracy. Say that all the time, strive for accuracy. We did our full, or this is supposed to be our shorter program, so we did the length it is supposed to be. We will be here on Wednesday. Judith Finlayson, she is a white woman. She is the author of the book, You Are What Your Grandparents Ate. It is not about racism. It is about the impact of food, generational impact of food, and talking about how the diet of your, as the title states, grandparents can impact the health and habits of their grandchildren. That's how important food is, and in particular, the food diet habits of females when they're pregnant, males too, actually. Very interesting material to maybe make folks a bit more mindful about what we put in our plate, in our mouth. Judith Finlayson, and the racism white supremacy component, because white people deliberately keep black people from getting access to vaccines and healthy foods. Should be Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Much obliged, Che in Japan, Silent Warrior in Norway, our caller in Sweden, Andrew in the UK, all the folks who dialed in, caller in Florida, Thomas in New York, got their questions in. I hope it was worthy of your Sunday, I guess, your Monday afternoon or Monday morning, sorry, in Japan. And then our folks in Europe, your Sunday evening. The rest of us, Sunday afternoon, listening in the archives, worthy of your time and energy. Again, we'll be here on Wednesday. Stay safe. Drink water. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. We will need a fully functioning brain computer to make sense of all this madness and problems created by racist man and racist woman, racist child. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled. If you gotta go out, be very mindful. They're protesting in Germany. They're protesting in England over the Rona and all kinds of other things. He said it spill over. Like, we just make up reasons to go out and run around in the street. Same thing here in the U.S. I would be very alert to what's happening around you if you're going out and about. I'd say especially in the U.S. or other areas where they're protesting. In the U.S., you have lots of armed white people. If you go out in public and someone's being hostile and loud, you should be thinking, this person may be armed. This person may have a whole group of armed white women and men with them who are ready to do some shooting and killing. If you didn't leave your residence prepared for lethal combat, exit. Not about, you know, making a stand, saving face, as they call it. Particularly not with random strangers, with everything that's happening right now in a system of white supremacy. If you gotta go out, you're sober, you're buckled, you're alert. If you're driving, you're not on the cell phone. We need to be attentive. And then we're trying to minimize contact with the Mark Furmans of the known universe. All of that said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cow signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.